Blog Talk Radio. This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
Greetings, everybody. Greetings, everybody. You are now logged on to Street Queens, The Movement, and we're live. We definitely want to thank our sponsors, OhanaShop.com. If you want that icy ice for your loved one or just for yourself, they always say diamonds are a girl's best friend. So log on to www.OhanaShop.com. Also, on top of that, guys, also I want you to check out CapitalCustoms.com. If you want to brand yourself or brand what you feel or who you are in your clothing, make sure that you log on to www.CapitalCustoms.com. And also, if you want that special edition Lush Radio or Street Queens The Movement shirt, all you got to do is log on to lshotart@gmail.com. We want to thank our sponsors, also E2K Magazine, By Woman and For Woman, Everything to Know About Woman, E2K Magazine Online.com. And you know what? Tonight's show, we're basically talking about when no means no. Is it a double standard when it comes to sexual harassment? That's the question. I want to know how you feel about it. Call in at 347-826-7722 when no means no. Have you ever been harassed at work? Have you just been harassed in general or molested in any type of sense and it didn't feel good to you? No means no. Don't feel ashamed. Tell us about your experience and call in at 347-826-7722. We employ the men to call in also. Thank you. We're going to go to a song and we'll be back on Street Queens, The Movement.
See this right here? I know y'all ain't ready for this. Mia X, Brandy.
I'm a work in progress. I'm a seed grows into a flower. I'm a stone that's rising. I'm getting stronger with every hour. And God knows I ain't perfect. Tell me who in the world is. All I know is that I'm searching for somebody to love me with.
He's part of that guy.
They're a part of who I am.
Save me for life.
But I finally understand.
And I'm so done trying to be everything you want. You got the guy.
You try to do everything that you ask me to. How you like my hair, what I better not wear. And you ain't like my mom and them. You ain't really want me around my mom and them. You know I told a few bags and lick a few scars. But I ain't never made you feel not by far. That I ain't got a flaw, don't acknowledge my issues. But you know I was with you. Stuff I'm coming at you like daycare's over. Living in your bags of bacon soda. It's just over, it's just over.
Train that moving.
And every day I'm picking up beats. And God knows you ain't perfect. So who are you to put pressure on me? That's why I'm still searching for somebody to love me with.
He's all about God. You're a part of who I am. Take me for a ride. But I finally understand.
And I'm so done trying to be everything you want.
Worth it.
I gotta camouflage for love, for love. Now that you know I'm walking the plan for love.
work on me. See what I like, what works for me. See what feels comfortable so close to me. Though every day's a blessing just to get up. I would hide my pain just to keep your lips up. That was fake on me, that'll happen not again. I need balance, that's where the red dots again. I'm getting my grown woman on. And I ain't even mad at you, handsome, I'm just moving on.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
You're now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement. And like I told you guys, we're definitely talking about sexual harassment. Like, you know, is it a double standard when no means no? And that's the question. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I want you guys to call in at 347-826-7722, whether you're a model, whether, you know, any situation, you know. Sometimes they feel like, you know, because you're a certain way or because you're a female, they can just do what they want to do. Or, and men, how do you feel? Because they feel like you feel like she's in power, she could just have her way with you. When no means no. What do you feel about the situation? Call in at 347-826-7722 and tell us what you think about the situation. So, like I said, we're live, and, you know, our other queens will be joining us in a few minutes. But I just want to tell my, you know, few cents about how I feel about the situation about sexual harassment. What is sexual harassment? And that's the big thing. First is defining what it is, you know. Well, sexual harassment is something that's unwanted, you know. When you don't ask for somebody to either touch you in the wrong way or say provocative things to you when it's really unnecessary, when you don't ask for it, you know, and, you know, you might be married or any type of situation or just invading your privacy in some sense, you know, when no means no. And you should never feel ashamed to report or let somebody know that they're violating your rights. They're violating your personal space. No one should ever, ever in their rightful mind violate you in any way. And that's the situation, and that's what people need to know. It's okay to say no to people if you feel like they're violating you. And this goes for the teenage young girls. These go for the young ladies now, whether they're models or whether you're in corporate America. And that boss says, in order for you to get that raise, you know, I want to slide my hand in between your legs. No. No means no. Now, if he chooses and says, oh, I want to fire you because this, you can file a sexual harassment suit. But the thing about it is, make sure that the situation is the fact of that it's actual sexual harassment versus you actually saying, okay, well, you know, I'm just pissed off at him or I'm pissed off at her, so I'm going to get her in trouble. It has to be an actual reason why you're doing it. Sexual harassment is not a game. Molestation is not a game. Even for the young children, it sickens me when you got people out there that actually probe on young children and want to molest them, you know, and children, whether you have your child, and let your children know, people, if you're listening, and let your children know that it's okay to say no. Say no from the top of your lungs. If you feel like somebody is violating you in any way and they think it, and they tell you, oh, it's just, I'm just playing with you and this. No, it's not. No means no. And no one should ever try to violate or take advantage of who you are and what you are. And that's what we're talking about. If you're just joining us right now, calling at 347-826-7722, we're talking about basically when no means no. Is it a double standard when it comes to sexual harassment? What do you think? We employ men to call in into the show and also young ladies. So we're talking about no means no. That's what we're talking about on the show tonight. And I just really, 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 really want you guys. You know, sometimes, you know, the sexual harassment can be traumatic to people. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, whether it's young people, whether it's, you know, older people, I mean, it can really be traumatic to people. So I really, you know, would like you guys to, like, if you have situations or something like this occurred to you, I want you guys to call in at 347-826-7722 and tell us what went on with you. Talk to us.
Another minute, not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make the way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me. I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, the movement.
Peace, everybody. Y'all just heard Smokey Orfo, Lord, I Need You Now, which is one of my favorite songs. I love it to death. Lord, I need you now. And sometimes we do need the Lord with different situations that we're dealing with. But tonight, if you're just joining us tonight on the show, we're talking about when no means no. Is it a double standard when it comes to sexual harassment? We want men to call in, and we also want women to call in to talk about if you had an experience. And exactly what is sexual harassment, you know? Sometimes people say, oh, we're just playing around, but it's not playing around until it goes too far. And don't be scared to say or admit that somebody's sexual harassing you or molesting you, whether you're a child, whether you're a coworker. Have you had an experience like that? Talk to us tonight at 347-826-7722, Street Queens The Movement. Peace, Emma. Peace, Queen.
Peace, Queen. Peace. How are you?
I'm fine, man. We got two people on the line with us, man. I think they want to talk about this sexual harassment thing, man. You want me to go ahead and get them, and then
Yeah, definitely. Let's bring them in. Let's not have them wait. Let's get into this topic. This is a hot topic here.
Let's talk about this. So let me go ahead and bring this queen in. Peace, Queen. This is my sister from another mother, DJ Lady Blaze, representing DMV area. What's up, booby? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Les?
I'm doing great, man. I'm feeling blessed right now.
That's great.
I'm feeling blessed.
That's what's up.
I appreciate you. You know, I'm honored that you called us. You got me and Emma on the line. How you feel about this topic, man, when no means no? You know, have you ever dealt with it with situation where you feel like, you know, either whether it was a man or anybody just felt like they can just invade your space, you know, because maybe they felt like maybe they had a higher position and maybe they wanted you to, you know, bend over backwards or maybe, you know, or anything.
Yeah,
they want you to bend backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced that more than one time. You know, I think most females experience that in their lifetime, some in some form or another. But personally, you know, dealing with certain employers, I've experienced that. You know, I've been molested before, so I know what that's about. So I definitely can relate to the topic.
How did you handle that?
What, being molested or just?
No, the fact about, well, I mean, you know, I guess it all goes with the same mentality, but I'm saying as far as having to say no and meaning no and the person not really respecting that you're saying no.
I mean, I had to get the police involved in one case. I had to do that one time, but, I mean, usually when I say no, I mean, people pretty much get it, but, you know, it happens all the time. I mean, especially being in the industry that I'm in, you know, as a female, I'm expected, you know, from the male race to do certain things to move up the ladder or, you know, whatever, and they always expect me to, you know, maybe tell me to give them head or whatever, and I'm not going to do it because I don't stand for doing stuff like that to move up. But, I mean,
right,
it happens all the time. But that's just the nature of the industry. So
right.
I come to realize that. So you got to deal with it.
Mm. I mean, you know what? I think that there's maybe stuff what we can do, at least talk about it, because I don't know about just dealing with it. And so that means that if we just deal with it, it's just going to continue to happen. I think if we talk about it more, most of us are, like, afraid to talk about it, like kind of ashamed or embarrassed. But I think if we set light to the ghost in the closet, you know what I'm saying, that he's exposed, then it's different.
Mm.
What do you think?
It depends. I mean, because a person is going to be the way that they want to be regardless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on the individual and their mentality. Some will stop. Some people will never stop. So it really depends. Even
true.
If you talk about them, it doesn't matter. Look at R. Kelly. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
true.
It just depends.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you had the situation with Pleasure P also. So you might state the situation, but some people that are high profile or positions, do they saying that they just walk away from situations? But I wanna hear a man's perspective since we're talking about a double standard. Q, you're live on the line with Street Queens, the movement. What's your perspective on the whole sexual harassment situation?
What's up, lady? How y'all doing? This is Q calling from Jersey. Sexual harassment to me, I mean, no means no. Any way you look at it, any shape, way, form, or whatever, no means no. Whether it's a man saying no, whether it's a female saying no, a child, anybody. Me, myself, personally, I haven't experienced it because, I mean, when somebody tells me no, I walk away, you know. I don't force myself on nobody, and I don't have nobody trying to force themselves on me. But as far as these I say riffraffs that don't know what it is, if you don't know what it is, it's basically rape. Point blank and simple. No ifs, ands, buts about it. It's rape. Somebody say no and you try to go for it anyway, you're raping that person.
Right.
You know, and I mean, even though that's a strong terminology, but that's the terminology you got to use these days of time.
It's a violation. It's definitely a violation of people's personal space.
Correct. That's exactly what it is.
And you can change it. What happens too is that you can change your mind at any time. Like I was doing a conference with some young girls, you know, ages from 11 to 16. And, you know, we were letting them know that even though sometimes, because, you know, we're going to talk about it too, girls can get a little sometimes ahead of themselves and think they got situations under control, you know, and will let a guy maybe fondle them or whatever, and then really realize what they're doing and be like, you know what, no, I don't want to do this anymore. But now you got the guy all heated, and he thinks, well, you know, you were flirting with me, you really want this, and will continue to take action. And I'm trying to tell them that after that point, after the girl has said no, and she said it several times, anything after that, you are violating her space, and it's considered rape. You're forcing yourself on somebody unwillingly.
Well,
and it's messed up because you're setting kind of, you know, you're setting kind of messages. I mean, young girls do it. You know, we do it to a certain point. We flirt, whatever. And then, you know, the guy doesn't have that proper understanding because there's some dudes that just don't get it or girls that just don't get it because guys could be like, yo, you know, no, no, and they'll keep pushing up and keep pushing up. After that, they're violating.
Right. Mm. You know, like me, myself, personally, I'm a man who I don't read signals. I do not read signals whatsoever. I don't try to read signals, you know. And my thing is I'd rather have a female make the first move. This way I know if I could go in that direction or not. Feel what I'm saying? So, therefore, it's not coming from me. It's coming from them. And then once it gets to that point and they're like, no, that's not what I was trying to do, I'm like, well, okay, I misunderstood you.
And hold up on that because we got two more of our queens on the line. We got DJ Lady Blaze live on the line with us, sharing her experience. We have Emma, Street Queens of Movement, and we have Natalia on the line with us, and we also have Ebony. But I'm going to go ahead and ask Ebony, Peace Queen, Ebony and Peace Queen Natalia. Natalia, we're talking about no means no, and basically, you know, have you had an experience where, you know, somebody, you know, took no and they didn't pay it any mind? Or, you know, maybe you had a job point or just dealing in an industry where you feel like somebody, you know, entered your personal space or you or molested in any situation, you know what I'm saying? When no means no. You want to share with us?
I have, you know, I think as women we've dealt with some aggressive men, unfortunately. There's been times, you know, where people have, you know, tried to cross that line or, you know, thought it was cool, you know, oh, we went out to eat and this and this and we're hanging out, I thought. And it can get out of hand, you know. As a child, I was molested and I'm a rape victim, so I am very cautious with people. I mean, being a little child, I mean, the little boy on the bus feeling up on me made me freak out. Like, it made me freak out. So I've been in situations where, you know, I've just from being raped and a guy coming on aggressively will have me just, like, I get emotional. Like, I will, like, freak out probably sometimes more than I need to, like, trying to get away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something, you know, learning to deal with takes a lot of time. But I think that as a female, yeah, I've had to deal with guys not, you know, trying to, like, oh, no, you know you want this. Or, you know, just once it gets in, you know, you'll like it. That bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth. And the thing about it is it's sad, and it's the truth. And you know, women have dealt with it, you know, in different ways. And, Ebony, what do you think about the whole situation that we were talking about just now?
What was the question?
We were talking about, have you dealt with an experience where basically you either were molested or you felt like you were sexually harassed? Is it a double standard? You know, have you ever dealt with a situation where you were in the working field or you dealing in the industry in general or something and you just felt like you were violated?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I was let go. I was fired because it was really crazy, too. I had a supervisor that was in a high position, and we were all going out after work, you know, so it was after hours. It was a few years, like 5 or 6 years ago. And we were at a little bar kind of venue type of thing. And everyone was sitting there. Everyone was having a really good time. It was the very first time that I actually tried any type of tequila because I was, like, against anti-tequila. So I did a couple of shots. I'm a light drinker, so I had a little buzz or what have you. And my other supervisor, who was underneath that supervisor, so that was her boss, she actually she was driving us home, I believe. And he made advances, you know, at me at the, you know, while we were inside the bar grill area and then afterwards as well, because I believe that he had to drive us because she was drinking too much. It was something, that part right there is like kind of fun. But I remember when he said, are your kids, he asked me, he said, are your kids at home, you know? He was like, because I want to come over. And he started touching me in a way that was, like, really inappropriate. And I told him completely, like, stop, don't do that. And he insinuated that, when you're talking to somebody and they're under the influence, you know, it's kind of, I guess, you know, he was figuring that I was just playing hard to get or something like that. But first of all, no, you don't talk like that during regular business hours, and just because, you know, you think you're all that everybody wanted you or what have you, I definitely was not trying to go there. And so that was on a weekend, I believe that was a Friday. So that Monday, I believe I was there 3 days after that, and then he let me go. Well,
wow.
In California, you're at will employment. So I really didn't have anybody that could witness what was going on or what have you. So it was basically my word against his word, but yeah.
Wow.
So,
wow.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I felt bad because I never did anything about it. But I didn't know who I was going to. And then there's the thing, too. You know, having something being done to you, and then it's always with the victim, you know, the actual victim, because, you know, there's people crying, you know, crying wolf all the time, but the actual victim, you know, you're actually victimized going to tell on somebody at the same time. So you got to prove yourself that this is the truth, and you're harassed by going and telling on someone. So there needs to be some type of system to where something happens to you that you're able to report it. There's some type of investigation at that point in time. But
excuse me, can I say
and
something?
That person has to defend himself.
Hello? See,
hello.
These laws today are here to protect women. Domestic violence laws. If you didn't know who to go to, then you should go to a lawyer. File her a sexual harassment complaint with the lawyer. The lawyer would take it from there. You know, sexual harassment is not tolerated in the workplace, even though you was not at the workplace, but it affected you in the long run. You know, they would have brought a lawsuit against the company. If you told somebody in the HR department what happened, and you feel it's not going that far, you go to a lawyer. You sue the company.
That's why he got rid of her fast before she thought about that and got rid of her.
Then you still get a lawyer. Look, I was terminated because my supervisor made sexual passes on me. I refused them. 3 days later, I was terminated.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like you're victimized to go and tell somebody that. You know what I'm saying? So after you experience, you know, something like that.
Oh, of course, yes. You're
going to
be ridiculed
like,
and embarrassed and everything, just like a sister get raped. Oh, they're going to make her relive that in trial. They're going to make her relive that in trial. You know, well, if you didn't dress this way, that wouldn't happen to you. No, it's no law to say how I could dress or how I can't dress. If I want to dress like this, I want to dress like this. But if I want to dress like this and not be harassed by anybody, I should be able to dress like this and not be harassed by anybody.
Absolutely.
You're right.
That's
you know,
that's
these law, these laws are designed to protect women.
They're designed to protect women.
I mean, I was in a situation when I was seeing this female, and everything was coochie crunch at first. I mean, paying half of the rent, paying half of the utility bills and everything. Then she stopped paying that stuff. She stopped paying her half. I'm not knowing this. I'm still paying my half. And so I got a court notice. I'm being evicted. I'm being evicted for what? Non-payment of rent. I'm paying the rent. I go to her. She's like, yo, what's going on? So we basically broke up, but we were basically roommates at that point. You know, you sleep early in the morning. You hear somebody laughing and talking in your house. You're going to get up and see what's going on. I get up. She's laughing and talking to herself. I'm like, what's going on? She started going off with me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going back to bed. I go back to bed, get up under the covers. I hear my covers sizzling. The trick done threw hot cooking grease on me. Thank God I was under the blankets, because if I wasn't under the blankets, I'd be a piece of fried chicken right now. So I called the police. Yes, I did that. I called the police. I'm like, look, send somebody over here, because if y'all don't, I'm going to end up killing them. They sent them over there. The cops came. They're like, well, we're not going to arrest her, but we're going to go get a restraining order. Me and the cop is heading out the door to go get the restraining order. Something just told me to duck. As soon as I ducked, she threw a black skillet frying pan, and it hit the cop upside his head. They ended up arresting her anyway.
Okay. Wow. I'm still in the law.
No, I mean, there's all forms of harassment is what I'm saying. There's sexual harassment. There's harassment by mentally harassing somebody. You know, because, I mean, I was trying my best to do the right thing.
Right.
Nah, she wanted somebody to take care of her. This day and time, it's not no such thing as taking care of somebody. You know, this day and time, if two people are together, you got to make it to work together.
That's right there, Q. And the thing about it is, you know, we have different stages. We have different, you know, different types of, you know, harassment, like you said, you know, whether it's, you know, verbal harassment, whether it's physical harassment, whether it's molestation. Whether it's you know, if you're sexually abusing somebody, you know, and threatening them. I mean, you know, being molested, you know, at a young age, you know, that kind of, you know, put trauma to a child growing up, you know, to become an adult, as, you know, as stated by Natalia. You know, being molested is a situation where sometimes as a child you feel like maybe it's me, maybe I caused this, or, you know, and sometimes you might go to a parent and the parent like, you're lying, because maybe they're so into that man or the situation. Why are you lying? Why are you trying to drive my man away? Or maybe it might be somebody that's close to you that you know and, you know, might be molesting you, or a family friend, whether it's somebody at the job, you know, they might be saying, oh, yeah, I want to smack that ass, or saying different derogatory things to you, and you're like, no, I'm not with that. It doesn't matter how a woman dresses. It doesn't matter, you know, how she carries herself, but you should not, you know, provoke somebody or come to a woman and harass her for no apparent reason. It doesn't matter how she dresses. She might want to wear a short skirt. That's on her. But that doesn't give you the right to try to stick your hands between her legs. That doesn't mean she's inviting touch.
Or for the men, too.
And for the men, too. It doesn't matter if he wears some tight pants, maybe his butt's poking out or something. That doesn't mean you should come and start feeling on his butt or grabbing his Johnson.
I've seen in the clubs the guys wearing their shirt open and all that. You know, they want to look, you know, their sexy self or whatever, and women will go right up to them and rub on their chest and grab them up and all that. And, you know, of course, as a man, you know, even though you feel uncomfortable, you can't be like, oh, get off of me, because then all of a sudden you're gay. So you got to kind of stand there and allow that to happen. That's still a form of invading somebody's space. Like, you know, if I don't want you to touch me, don't be touching all up on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a woman shouldn't sit there and get offended, because if a man said you would want them to respect you if you said no. So, you know,
absolutely.
You know, and another thing, like, let's talk about, you know, child molestation when it comes to children in general, when it comes to our children, we need to inform our children and let them know that they can be open to talk to us about anything. If it's a coach or anybody that they're dealing with and they feel like they're touching them improperly or doing things to them, they need to feel open to come talk to you about that, you know. And you should ask your child, is anybody doing anything to you and stuff? If you feel, because most parents know when something's wrong with their child. If they're really in tune with their child, they know when something's wrong. And they would ask their child, you know, is something wrong or whatever. We need to be open with our children and stop hiding, because, you know, there are some monsters out here. There are some real monsters out here, whether it's little boys, whether it's little girls. And they are molesting children. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be open and talk to our children and whether it's our nieces, if we don't have children, whether it's our nieces and nephews, you know, they need to be open with us and let us know if somebody's doing something like that, and let them know that nobody touches your jewels. Nobody touches your jewels. And on top of that, you know, if somebody does, you have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to scream. You have a right to tell. Don't feel ashamed. You understand? But I want to know how you ladies feel about in regards to, you know, the child molestation situation, or if you ever, you know, heard of different cases and stuff like that. I'm going to go to DJ Lady Blaze, how you feel about that, the child molestation situation?
No, you're right about everything you said. You should definitely teach kids those different things. But for me personally, when it happened to me, well, to be honest with you, I didn't know. Somebody told me that it was actually rape. I didn't think it was rape. I thought it was molestation. But, yeah, when it happened to me, I was 7 years old. And it was actually the babysitter's son that was doing it. And it's crazy because she was supposed to be watching me, and most times she was. But there were occasions where she had to go out. So she would leave her 13-year-old son with me. And then, you know, when we would be together every now and again, he would want to play video games. And after the video games, it was always the same thing. He wanted to go in the closet and play house. Wow. And he wanted to have sex, you know, so I'd be down there laying down in the closet, and he would tell me to take off my clothes and stuff, and be doing all kind of things to me, and, you know, he didn't really know what he was doing, because apparently he was a virgin, but he would take his penis out and put it in me and stuff, but he didn't know what he was doing, and I wasn't hurt because of it, but, you know, I never wanted to do it, you know, and I would say to him, I'm like, stop, stop, and he's like, no, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you're a female, this is what you need to be doing, and I would always tell him, stop, and I would be crying sometimes because I didn't want to do it, and, you know, I would be like, I'm going to tell my mom, and he would tell me he's going to kill me if I tell anybody.
What?
And, you know, being 7 years old, somebody telling you something like that, you're afraid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I never told anyone.
Wow.
The first person I told, I did tell my mom, she was the first person, but I didn't tell her till I'm 27 now. I told her at the age of 23. So I dealt with that the whole time, and I told nobody. Now I can speak openly about it, and it's nothing to me like I'm telling you guys. But, yeah, I told nobody and held that in that whole time, only because he said that to me.
Wow.
It's funny because a lot of people, I notice, a lot of females grow up either being molested or raped these days. I see that more and more now, and it's really, it's messed up. My mom was, my dad was, you know, so it's crazy.
But, you know, people don't discuss that. You know what I'm saying?
No, they
don't. When you're talking to your kids, it's like something that you don't, it's like a taboo. Don't talk, you know, you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Had your mom, said, well, if anybody touches you or this, that, and the other, and this is why I'm saying it's because I've experienced this, then you wouldn't really understand exactly what it was, but you would know that it wasn't right. And, Mom, I had this happen to me.
Well,
I
no, my she did tell me that. That's funny, because she did tell me that, but I was still afraid because of what the guy said, you know?
Which is true. And see, like, in that same predicament, like she said, you know, with the threatening, and that's another problem that comes to pass, is that some of the children, when they're young, you might have this adult or somebody older than them saying, well, I'm going to hurt you, or when I see you, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to kill you. And some people actually do kill these children, you know what I'm saying? And we've seen it. They blessed them and they've killed them. So, you know, for a child that's young at the age that she was, I could see she was terrified. Any child would be terrified at that age. But we as parents have to try our best and tell our children, please, whatever it is, tell me, you know, because, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, we never, you know, want to deal with a situation like that. And then on top of that, and what she dealt with was actual rape. That was rape. It was molestation on top of rape. And then on top of that, dealing with that guilt, because it was more like a weighing something heavy on her shoulders, dealing with that all the way through her life, sometimes finds us in situations where it's hard for us to deal with relationships or ourselves in general or different situations because of that, because we never dealt with the demon or confronted that situation. Because it takes a lot, and not even just the rape with what she was with, the situation she went with. We have a lot of young ladies that are even, thank God that, you know, God saved her, and she's come from that, and she's been able to heal and been able to share and heal day by day with the situation. But you got some women who are lost. You got some women that are out here that are on the street, on the strip, and they're out here selling their bodies and stuff because they have been molested. And that's all they know. Their innocence was taken at a young age, and all they know is to do that.
And
they blame themselves.
You know, it's funny, Lush, because different people handle the situation differently.
Definitely.
That's what's crazy. Like, for me personally, I don't really trust guys like that. I have a lot of trust issues when it comes to guys. Like, I feel like all of them is full of crap, full of game.
Yeah.
I've always been that way, so guarded when it comes to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you a question. When it came to relationships for you, was it hard feeling sometimes because of the situation that you did? Even though sometimes we try to put it dormant in our mind, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, the defensive mechanism comes to you sometimes when it comes to relationships sometimes too?
All the time. You know the kind of person I am. You know, so that's just me. I'm very guarded. I don't really mm-hmm. trust anyone in general, but especially men. I really don't. I give them a hard time all the time. Even when they're good guys, I give them a hard time.
And that's real talk. That's some real talk right there. And I want to talk to Natalia because I know Natalia dealt with her situation. Natalia, did you with the molestation and rape with your situation? Was it was more at a younger age and stuff for you, or in your teens?
Well, yes, the molestation that happened to me was my uncle. He's very sick now. He's paranoid schizophrenic. And
wow.
He molested all his nieces.
Wow.
He's one of 14, so he's the youngest out of the 14 kids. And little things that he did, like I remember he would have me, when I would go visit, like sit on his lap while I would drew pictures. And I remember not knowing that it was wrong then because I was so little, like 3 years old. And when I finally told my family, if, you know, we started becoming aware that, you know, one thing I'm upset with my family is no one's ever pressed charges or anything. Like, it was like a family secret, hush, hush. So no one would let their kids around him. And I sit here and think now, the last 30 years, how his sickness has progressed and the things that he has done. I mean, he thinks that he was a dog in his past life, and all his nieces were the bitches that he made it with, came back as his nieces. So
wow.
He felt like a right to touch us. And to, yeah, I mean, his thinking is really messed up. And
wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, now I'm 30 years old, I have two little girls. I could be cleaning my house, and I have a visual in my head of being a little girl, going right back, and then my uncle doing things to me. And, you know, it really messed me up. Like, you know, I was raped. That's how I lost my virginity. I'm so paranoid with my daughters. My daughters are 4 years old. They knew mommy had been raped. I explained it to them. I tell them now because one of my guy friends was like, Natalia, you don't ever want your child to go through what you went through. Arm her with what she needs to know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you need to let them know. And I wasn't trying to tell my kids, oh, you listen, your mom's been raped. But then I thought about it. If I could prevent this from happening to my daughter, I need to explain, you know. And I tell them, and they go to their friend's house. I come, and I'm like, yo, get in the shower, and I check everybody out. You know, if anything looks tender or red, I'm calling. You know, I don't play that. I mean, I'm so paranoid. With the molestation of being raped has completely messed me up with men. I like the DJ... Lady Blaze, I think it is. I can't trust me. I think everybody's full of shit. I feel like you're gonna lie to me. You can't love me. Look what you know. You're gonna hurt me. Like, only person that can love me is my God, and God is the only one that has been through with me through thick and thin. Not even my mama. You know. So I only know to depend on me and God. So it's so hard for me to allow men to get close to me. And people are like, you know, you a nice girl. Why you don't got somebody? And I'm just like. I do now, thank God, because he sees past all of that, and he's helped me deal with that. But before, it was just a big wall. I don't trust men. I feel like all you want is to do something to sexually satisfy yourself.
And that's deep right there, man. And, you know, these are real stories right here. If you're just tuning in with us, we're talking about when no means no. And is it a double standard when it comes to men? And the ladies are sharing their experience about molestation and rape. This is you know, the numbers of rape and molestation have risen, you know, in the past year. And it you know, a lot, it's not just, you know, young girls, it's also young boys getting molested also, you know. And a sad thing about it, you know, even like in the old times, it was like a hush-hush thing. when it comes to families, like, you know, it's like hush, hush. Nobody say nothing about it. But you know this is going on, but you're not saying nothing, you know. And these children are traumatized for the rest of their lives, you know. And this is something that we're speaking on.
Guys.
Go ahead, Emily.
Yeah,
and especially when it comes to the young boys, I've actually dealt with some guys that one gentleman, you know, he was at 14 years old. He used to get raped by his stepfather, and you know, he had trouble trying to figure out his sexuality. You know,
right.
He didn't know if he wanted to be
yeah.
a man or a woman. You know, and so it's that eternal fight, and they're feeling like maybe this is me, this is what I'm supposed to be because this person violated me. You know, so it's basically, you don't even give them a choice. You deciding their choice for them.
Right.
You know?
And then the little girls, they feel like, you know, as that too. You know, if you haven't came to grips with what actually happened to you, you know, and you lose your whole self with the experience that you had, it's just like, well, you know, and that's when they do go on this trip. You know, this is, no one, you know what I'm saying? This is all I'm good for anyway. You know, they program themselves.
Exactly.
With the
uh-huh.
that's happened to them.
I will admit,
yeah.
though, like, when I got raped, like, I was 15 or 16 at that time. And, no, I was 16 when it happened. It literally, like, I tried to burn the house down. Like, the cops got called in that day because when I got home and I was trying to tell my mother was like, I don't want to hear whatever happened to you, you deserve. So I remember
wow.
trying to burn down the house. Yeah, but see, my mom didn't know. Like, my mom didn't even know I got raped until I had my last child 6 years ago because it was something that I didn't know how to do anything. So when we had, you know, the deal with the fire and everything, I went overboard. I went self-destructive. I went promiscuous. I was very promiscuous. I did all types of drugs. I was on coke, acid, you know, ecstasy, smoke. I was just trying to numb myself. Because I was so like, wow. And then I started feeling that only way I can relate to a man is I'm with him sexually because that's when I felt like I was pretty or I was wanted. So it was like I was chasing that feeling and for me to get that feeling was sleeping with people. And it took me a long time to like, you know, pull myself like, yo, like your only person you're destroying is yourself. Because, it really like, the rape thing, the molestation, like, really just, it effed me up, like, severely all around. I think I'm a better person now, but I'm 30 years old, and I'm just getting raped, you know.
Wow.
Thank
had,
God for that.
So.
Yeah,
was
thank God for both of y'all just, you know, being here and going through that. You guys are strong women. Emma, you know, talk to us, man. Talk to us, because I know we talked in the past in regards to, you know, things that, you know, we've been through, you know, on our past shows and everything. Talk to us, man. Tell us, you know, in regards to, you know, your experiences and how you feel about, you know, what the lady shared with us.
I mean, you know, it's scary because I'm sitting here just listening and kind of reliving with them, you know, situations. You know, I didn't come into terms with me being molested till I was, like, in my early 30s. You know, I'm 42 years old now. And, you know, I had to come to terms with it. There's things that I forgot. I mean, because we, you know, we block things from our minds and stuff.
Exactly.
But my thing was, you know, I was molested. I had four different molesters.
Wow.
In my period of time, you know, it started at 2 years old with an uncle, you know, what do you know at 2 years old? But when I started taking therapy for it, I totally blocked that. When I started taking therapy for it, that it came back. And I remember, like, the things he used to do, like, hold this, you know, put your mouth here, lick that or whatever. At 2 years old, like, you're fucking disgusting.
Oh,
I'm sorry for crying. I just got emotional, but, you know, And at 2 years old, you don't know. And this is a person I love. This is my uncle. He buys me candy. He takes me to the store. You know, what the hell do I know at that age? You know, and then again, it happened to me again. Then at 6 years old, you know, my mother left me with a babysitter and her husband, you know. At that point, I still wasn't penetrated. But then it happened again at 8. And at 8 was when finally, you know, one of the my mother's friend's husband, in a drunken stage or whatever, actually crept in the room and, you know, and actually, you know, intercourse where I was feeling pain and crying, and I was like, what? And I didn't know what it was. And I always could remember his breath that smelled like liquor and cigarettes together. And that's a conversation that always triggers me with men. Like if a man is drinking and smoking and I'm near them or whatever, that always, that scent, I will never forget that for the rest of the days that I live. Those two scents, the liquor and the cigarette together, always sets me back to that, to those points. You know, then it happened again. The last time it happened was I was 10. So, you know, how I dealt with it was that I felt I had to be a protector. I felt nobody protected me. Nobody defended me. So I wanted to go defend and protect everyone that I could. I'm glad that I didn't go other routes that I could have gone and that I heard the ladies here go through. But, you know, I was an emotional wreck nevertheless. I went through my rebellious stages of fighting every day, getting thrown out of school. I was known as a truant. I was hanging out with the worst people. I put myself in the worst situations. I went out only with drug dealers, only guys that carry guns and were into, you know, that type of life. Because actually I was kind of self-destructing because I felt I belonged in that environment. And, you know, with that, I'm blessed that I had good people around me that saw through that and, you know, and gave me some type of guidance and helped me out, because I really right now could have been probably doing a life sentence for all the things that I was involved in. You know, but God saw other things. God saw that I was good for other things and you know, put people in my path that kind of, you know, moved me away from there. But, you know, I didn't come to terms with, I didn't understand why my life was the way it was. I really still didn't understand it. Like I said, till I got into my early 30s, and I was homeless, and I found myself homeless, and found myself, you know, through all this situation. And when you're homeless, that's when you see who's, you know, when you're homeless or you're in prison, is the two times that you really find out who your real friends are or who your family is. You know, and you have to see yourself. You have to look within yourself, and you have to walk the walk, and you have to take this journey. And none of us like to see ourselves. None of us like to really know what the truth is. We're running away with all the shit that's happened. We don't want to see it. You know, we don't want to relive it. But in order to go on, you have to relive it. You have to look at your past. You have to know where you came from. You have to know what caused you that pain in order for you to be able to move on to the future, you know. So I'm fortunate that I have people around me that made me look at myself, that put me to the test and gave me that challenge, and I was able to look. And I'm no longer ashamed to say that I was molested. That's because, you know, they did that to me. You know, they did that to me.
Right.
You know, I was a child, you know, and I was supposed to be protected, and I was not, you know, I was not protected and none of that. Whether, you know, shame on them for violating me and violating my space and not listening when I said no, you know. But why am I going to beat myself up? I didn't do anything. That was not my fault, and it took me a long time to understand that. you know, like I said, all my relationships were crazy relationships, you know, were off the wall, you know, and I actually started walking the journey of knowing who I was as a woman, respecting myself, valuing myself, and not having, you know, not allowing just any man, just because he said he loved me or he can buy me a fur coat, that I was good with that, you know. I'm worth more than that, you know. And I actually started seeing my value as a woman and started seeing all the things that I can do for other women and for other kids. And that's when I started doing all my community stuff. And every time I did for somebody else and I did a service, I found out that kind of filled my cup. And that's why, to this day, that's what I do. Anytime I can help someone, you know, I'm very heavy with the woman movement and helping and empowering and letting my sisters out there know that, you know, you're beautiful, you're loved, and you have to put value on yourself or nobody else will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, I also, with that, I never had any children. I never gave birth to any children. And people always ask me, well, why? Why you don't, you know, and I love kids because I love kids. I do anything for kids. I'm raising three right now. You know,
yeah.
Well, you know why I never had any children? Because I didn't want to give birth to any children to come into this world and suffer what I did.
Wow.
I made that choice. You know, I made that choice not to bring any children to this world. But the kids that are already here, anything I can do for them, then I'm giving my life for. And, you know, and I have a 17, I have 11, and I have a 1-year-old. And they are my children. I didn't give birth to them, but I'm here on a day-to-day basis, raising them, giving up my life and my years so they can be productive people in society. So that's how I'm giving back. Although I kind of still, you know, punish myself, but, you know, I still got to realize that, no, it's not my fault. And, you know, and how my therapy is, you know, doing service and giving back, you know, to the community, to people, to my family, giving back. And, you know, and just trying to walk the walk, trying to be righteous as I possibly could be. You know, so God could actually forgive those individuals, you know, that did harm to me. Because it's actually power on me, because I don't sit and think about them and none of that. Yeah, it happened to me, and yes, I talk about it. When the topic comes up, yes, I give my opinion, but that's where it starts and that's where I leave it, you know?
Mhm. And that's the truth, and the only way for us as women and anybody that's dealt with molestation or being violated in a point is, we never give our aggressors or our molesters the power to stay in our memories. We learn to heal, and we learn to look at it in the face and be able to move on. They said, you can forgive, but you can't forget. And whatever doesn't break us makes us stronger. And therefore, we want to go out there and also help others out there that are going through it. And with this situation and with what we're discussing tonight on the show, hopefully there's a woman out there that's going through it right now and still dealing with that or molestation, and they want to deal with it. And maybe one of these stories might have helped them right now, or a child that's going through it, or you know a child that is, and maybe you want to help them. Maybe we found different situations where you can help them out, or you can share and relate to what we're talking about. If you want to talk more about it, or you want to call in and share your stories about sexual harassment, molestation, or rape, call in at 347-826-7722. These women are powerful women. We thank God for them, to give them the strength to even talk about their experiences and stuff. And I want to share experience with you. Like when I was at my job, I was working at a Jamaican restaurant. I had a gentleman that was my boss, and he was, you know, and come to find out, he was harassing every woman that came in there. You know, he would try to, you know, touch me, fondle me, and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, you know, why are you trying to touch me?
you know, and, you know, and I think because of the situation, he was trying to find ways to fire me. So he actually let me go over that situation. And then I had another situation where, you know, due to my marriage and I was going through different situations, my divorce, you know, I got into, you know, I was hustling and I got into the game. And I had a situation where the guy put a gun to my head and said, you know, give it up. You know, and I think I told him about this situation before. And, you know,
yeah.
I just, you know, if you're in a situation and you have a child to go home to, you going to sit there and fight about the situation when you got a gun pointed directly to your head, or you going to do what you got to do? I'd rather calm the cat down before, because a scared person is a person you need to fear, because they going to pull the trigger because they don't know what they're doing, you know. Than the person that's saying, he's trying to figure out what he's trying to do. So I just thought to him, like, calm down, you know. I mean, I ain't do nothing too long ago. I'm saying, like, what's up, you know, to calm him down so he can put that gun away so he don't kill me so I can go home. And if you're going to do something, use a condom. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was the situation. It was do or die. I either die and I'll go home to my mother, I mean, to my daughter, or I lay there on the ground and be another statistic, you know. It could be a worse scenario where you go to a situation where a man beats the shit out you or anything, you know. Thank God that I got out of the situation alive, you know. So it was a crazy situation, you know what I'm saying, and it's sad, but, like, women, we go through it every day. We go through it every single day. Children go through it every single day, and we need to be aware and we need to talk about it. Molestation, rape, sexual harassment. It starts from the sexual harassment all the way, and sometimes it ends up, you know, as a rape victim. There's so many rape victims that's out there that turn into cold cases, and they never find the assailant. Half the time, the assailant is somebody right next to you, somebody close to you. And that's the question. We got a caller calling in from the 803. Caller, you're live on Street Queens, the movement. Speak to us. Peace.
That's me?
803. Yeah,
803, you're live. Yeah, I've been through several experiences myself where I said no, and, you know, I got harassed myself, sexually harassed. But that was by my husband. We were separated, and I didn't want to be with him, and he forced himself on me. Now, I've had situations where I fought. It was twice that it happened to me. So I guess it's depending on the situation and who you're going through with, how strong you can be.
Mhm. And that's true. So what's your name and where you calling from, Queen?
My name is Liz. They call me AKA Bebop. I'm calling from South Carolina.
That's okay. My girl. That's my girl.
How you doing, Emma?
Hey, baby. Thanks for calling, Ma.
And no problem.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you, man. And when the statement that she just stated in regards to, like, her husband, like, it can also be rape when it comes from your husband. If it's your husband.
Family member,
family member. Yeah. If it can,
usually
can
a rape is from somebody they know. Usually a person who's raped is raped from somebody they know.
Yeah, which is
family member. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes even with the rape, like, you can be in an abusive situation with your husband, or not even abusive, but you might be separated and you don't want to deal with him anymore. But he forces yourself. Some women feel in the need, like, oh, maybe he's my husband, so it's not rape, it's not really molestation, or he forces himself.
It's rape, even if it's your husband.
No means no, no matter how you look at it.
Exactly.
What
explain that.
What did you say, Q?
I said no means no matter how you look at it.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. No matter how. When a woman says no, no is no.
Or with a man. Or with a man says no.
No is no. Right.
That's the truth. We got another caller calling in from the 857. You're live on Street Queens, the movie. We're talking about molestation, rape, and we've shared some real true stories. Have you had an experience like that? Tell us your name and where you're calling from, or if you just want to talk about the subject. 857, you're live on Street Queens, the movement.
What's good, Lush? It's your boy Bugsy out the Boston area.
What up, Bugsy? How you doing, King?
I'm good, Ma. I just seen a tweet, so I jumped in. You know, I just caught a little bit. But, I mean, my input on that, man, like, for dudes out there, you need to think about, you know what I mean, what they want done to their daughter or kids when they grow up, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big cycle. Like, treat these women how you want your daughters treated when they get older. You know what I mean? Like, I know every dude loves females, man, but, you know what I mean? Don't push it that far, man. Like, it ain't that serious, you dig?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
But yeah, like it's just crazy, man. Like I don't know, man. Like for one, like if you're game tight, man, you shouldn't even have to even take it to that extent. And I know some dudes can't really sit, man. Keep it 100, man. Just go beat your shit if you can't get it. You dig? But that is just unneeded, man. I really don't condone none of that.
I'm wondering if that's just probably low self esteem or something like that. You know.
Yeah,
it could be that too. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a reason why they can't take no for an answer. Like, they think they can't get it, so they're going to force themselves.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, the pattern, there's a pattern. Sometimes it's a cycle. Some of the molesters sometimes grow up to become molesters, you know. And if they've been molested themselves, they grow up to be molested.
Exactly.
And it's basically a trait, and it's passed on, you know. And then the thing about it is, like, you got some people that are sexual predators, and they actually have children, and they live a functional life with their wife, and they would never know that they're molesters. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, dang, the phone lines is blowing up tonight. Damn.
Okay. hit a touchy subject. Call us more. Put their input.
Yeah, this is a real topic right here. This is a real topic. If you're calling and joining us right now, we're talking about Street Queens the Movement, the panel with all our lovely ladies and our kings live on the line. We're talking about when no means no. Is this double standard when it comes to men and females? And also, we're talking about molestation and rape and just fondling. Like, you know, have you shared an experience like that? Or how do you feel about that? Ladies have shared their personal deep issues and different situations that they dealt with. Talk to us. Have you been through that? 718, you're live on Street Queens the Movement. I know you're from New York, but tell us your name.
Aloha.
Aloha.
What's up, my street queens and my kings? I love my kings.
Peace, queen. Links, man, how you doing? You know it's always exciting when you come through, girl.
I'm
we talking
good.
About...
I'm loving this topic. I'm loving this topic.
Tell us about it.
Shoot. I've been guilty, I must admit. Harassing my brothers at the workplace. I ain't even going to lie.
I love you, Lee. She's crazy.
I ain't crazy. I'm telling the truth.
I know.
Oh, can you lift this up for me? You're so strong. Come here. Let me touch on that shoulder real quick.
Oh. Lee? I get a sexual harassment charge.
Surprised they didn't. But you see, when it comes from a source that you like when it comes from, there ain't nobody making claims, right? So if Mr. Bossman was fine clocking that paper and probably can do it right, I probably wouldn't put no complaints. But if he balding, if he's short, smell funky, gets on my nerves, oh, I'm going to put a complaint. And that's where that's that bullshit. Because sexual harassment is sexual harassment. It don't matter who it's coming from. But them brothers never put a complaint against me. I guess I was favorable. Keep it 150, they should have.
No, you got me choking over here.
They should have. They should have really told on me.
Oh, shit.
My boss dad actually made advances on me. He was fine. But it just wasn't that type of party.
Oh, okay. No, the key word was when you like. If you like them, But you know, it's wrong either way. Like I said, they should have told on me, but they didn't, because there was whole lots of room for me to walk by. But no, I had to try to squeeze right by him. Oh, excuse me, and be getting every chance to touch on them. Now I was a pervert, and they should have put a complaint on me, but they didn't. And I think too, with men, it's hard for them to put a complaint, because how's someone gonna look at a man complaining about that? They gotta, you know, even if it's happening, even if it's happening to them, they're like, should I say anything? They're gonna think I'm a faggot. They're gonna think I'm, you know, I'm crazy. So it is a double standard, I think, in my opinion. I should be locked up.
Wow. So let's. You crazy? Let's ask the men then. Q and Bugsy. Do you feel like, you know, men are looked at as less than a man if they file a complaint against a woman, even though she might be harassing him or saying that, oh, she's gonna set him up with his wife or his girl if he don't do this or he don't do that? How do y'all feel about that, Bugsy and Q?
Well, me myself personally, I've never been in a situation like that, you know, and I'm glad I don't work where you work at, girlfriend. I don't work where you work at.
What you mean you glad you don't work? You would have been very happy. Especially on those quick lunch breaks. What?
He said what?
Well, I mean, like I said, I've never been put through a situation like that before where I had a female come on to me and I didn't want the advanced moves, the moves going on or anything like that. And, I mean, if it was to happen, it's probably because I wanted two to happen, one. But as far as me, I can't say because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it'll make me feel like a punk or whatever, however you may want to call it. Because, I mean.
But do you think the society makes it hard for a man to come forward?
Oh, of course. Of course.
And could you understand why a man wouldn't?
Oh yeah, I can understand that. What was that movie with Demi Moore and where Demi Moore was sexually harassing Michael Douglas. And everything. He was coming forward and nobody would believe him.
Demi Moore was the man.
You know, and nobody believed Mike Douglas because he's like, you a man, no woman's going to sexually harass a man. You know what I'm saying? So it's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Double standard for guys. You know, you're the aggressor. We are looked at as the aggressors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they see us bigger and stronger.
Oh,
you know, they
think
we can control the situation and everything. And a lot of times, you got some women out there that got more balls than a brother.
You know?
You know? See what I'm talking about?
What?
Yeah, I feel what he's saying, but I mean, it's 2010. Let's be honest, ladies. Like, how many dudes really gonna say no? You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say it. You know, it's 2010. Ain't no really. I mean, unless he playing the other field and ain't got nothing to do with me. But ain't no nigga gonna say no. Ain't no I see Why Did I Get Married Part 2, and after I seen that, baby dog, anything possible when it come to marriage. Whew.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, it's crazy.
Women control sex no matter how you look at it.
Yeah,
y'all control sex. You know,
wow.
Y'all the ones who say yay or nay. If it's
hold on. That's not necessarily true, because I hear complaints from sisters all the time that their husbands ain't handling. Their husbands be like, oh, I'm tired.
You got to read between them lines, man. If you got a headache, read that line, baby. Yeah,
you need to
move on to the next one.
I didn't say that was my personal problem, you heard? I said my sisters be telling me. So I wouldn't have that problem.
I'm just saying for the listeners out there, man. Like, if your man say he got a headache and he ain't trying to bust one off, there's definitely a reevaluation that needs to be done. Look at that application once again and find out who you're dealing with. Because ain't no nigga saying no in 2010 to no pussy. Let me
say something to y'all. Now, my sisters know me, and the kings, you're going to know me in a minute. I call and I try to put humor on it, but I'm going to flip it on y'all because the reality is that that's a dangerous situation that a man or a boy has to feel a certain way for saying something because we got our young boys, our little boys are being molested by teachers who are twice their age. Our little boys are being molested by friends of the family who are two or three times their age, and they're afraid to say things because they're afraid of being looked at a certain way. And they're boys, and they want to experience, and a whole bunch of stuff comes. But it's a dangerous situation because if they're made to feel that way, then these predators, these women, these cougars, whatever you want to call them, they can get at these boys more easily because that's how society has placed it in their minds, that, you know, if a girl's promiscuous, everyone talks about her, but when a boy gets it on, it's like he gets kudos, he gets the, you know, he gets the shout-outs and all of that. So he's not going to complain or come forward, but there are these women who are taking our young men's innocence, you know, and it's...
Hold on. Let me ask you a question real quick. There was a situation that happened. There was a teacher. She was twice older, and she had this young Hispanic young man. I think he had to be like either 13 or something like that. And she was teaching him. Was he 13? He was 13 or so, or something like that. And she.
They got married.
So people, I want to ask you: Do you consider that? Do you consider that molestation, or because the child was programmed in his mind that was love? So how do you guys feel about the situation?
I just want to say something real quick on what Link was saying about the cougars. You know, because I be joking around all the time and saying, you know, that I'm a cougar and I wear my cougar shirt, but I have my limits of cougarism. You know, I like younger men. I don't deal with boys. That's my only distinction with my cougarism, you know. I do like 5 years younger, something like that. But again, I'm 42, so anybody younger than me's got to be in their 30s. So let's just get that clear.
Well, let me say a story about myself because I'm a cougar, but I fell into it accidentally.
No.
I'm gonna be honest. 10 years ago, I met a man. Yeah, 10 years ago, I met a man, and he told me he was older, and we was already in a relationship. How I found out his age? He left his pants on my chair. I went to pick him up. The ID fell out, and it was too late. I already had done what I had to. And guess what? I've been with this man for 10 years, and I'm 9 years older than him.
Wow.
Yes.
But
you know what? It was
girl.
Already too late. I couldn't change the way I felt for him after I already had done what I had did. And we got 2 kids together.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't something that I chose to do.
I did the same thing. You know, because
he lied to me. He didn't give me a choice because if he would have told me from the get, I wouldn't have went there because that's my morals. But I already have felt angry. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't turn back my feelings. It was there.
I felt
really bad when I found out, and it was the struggle between letting go and staying, but it was too late. I already have felt for the man. You know what I'm saying?
But was he already 18 or older?
Hold up, y'all. Let's get our closing thoughts on molestation and rape and then talk about this cougarism because it seems like it's about to turn into another story.
do you consider that rape? I mean... I don't know. Am I a rapist? But I don't think I am.
Girl,
you know what I'm saying?
Consent of age, man. That is not rape. That's consent, girl. Stop playing.
Okay. There you go.
That's consent. But I ain't going to lie, though. I was 20 at one time, and this boy told me he was like 19, 20. And he was like 17 years old, and he lied to me, and I was 20 years old. So that was considered rape, or I didn't know. He didn't tell me. I didn't find out until later.
You're not a rapist. You just fell for the gaffle, man. He just slipped one by you. That's it.
Statutory rape. It was statutory.
He just had better game than you. He just had better game than you, and he just
didn't. I mean, I was shocked, man. I didn't know they was packing like that at that age. But anyway, let's do our final.
Hey.
Tu santissimo.
Hey, yo.
Oh, man.
Hey, yo. Let's do our final thoughts. Everybody, we're going to do our final thoughts on rape and molestation, and we're going to move on to these other little thoughts we have since we have in this thing going on over here, because it's about to get freaky. But anyway, Q, your final thought on rape and molestation and everything.
My thing is, like I've been saying all night, no means no. You know, any way you look at it, sexual harassment, there's places that you could go to get help. If you can't get it in the workplace, there's places to go. See a lawyer, you know, sue the person, sue the company, you know, get your just due. That's all I
have
to say.
That's what it is. Emma, your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, you know, whoever's going through a, you know, situation, even if it's not somebody that probably is listening, but if you know anybody, just try to help them out. You know, talking about it is always good, but everybody, you know, comes out at their own time. Like I said, I didn't start really walking the journey and looking at what happened to me till my early 30s. So sometimes people can do it earlier, sometimes some people can do it later. But what did help me, like I said, was there was a lot of good people in my life that, you know, didn't give up on me and stood by me and waited till I was ready for that, you know, to expose that. You know, just try, and you know, if you know somebody that's going through it, just them, you know, just you talking to them, trust me, they're listening. They may not be able to ready to express themselves and talk back, but just you letting them know that, you know, that they're there. Please talk to your kids, you know, have that special bond with them where they can come to you and they can feel comfortable coming to tell you anything. You know, ask them on a daily basis. If you see anything funny or they're writing or they're drawing something funny that looks violent or whatever, something's going on, you know, dig deep. When they're standing next to their babysitter and all of a sudden they act a funny way or they're playing sick because they don't want to go to a certain friend's house for whatever reason, look deep into that. You know, look deep into that because we give our messages. The kids give our messages. You're just not paying attention. But we do show signs, you know, that things is going on. So, you know, just open your eyes, you know, talk to your kids. You know, even nieces and nephews, check out their movement, you know, the things that they do, how they do things different, because somehow or another they do project it out. It's just that people are not really paying attention to them.
That's real talk right there. Natalia, your final points on it.
Well, I was definitely thinking, like, as Emma was saying, you know, we got to make our children aware. You know, be very open. She says, have that bond. Be honest. And we, you know, sometimes we're not aware of things, you know, as mothers and fathers, you know, think about before we bring men into our kids' lives, you know, some of these women bring men in and out so much, and they do things to our daughters or our sons that we can't ever fix or take back. So, and if anybody's in a situation, you know, I just urge that you guys find someone to talk to. There's helplines that you can get regarding to dealing with molestation, you know, just learn how to deal, you know, learn how to be, accept that it happened and figure out how to learn a way how to deal with it. You know, sometimes you need therapy, you know, sometimes people can deal with it without therapy, but, you know, most important thing is, you know, make your children aware so they don't become victims if we have, you know, went through it.
That's what's up. And, Ebony, your final thoughts on that also.
Wow. I mean, everyone just made very good points on what it is to do when a situation has happened to you. Also, when it's being done in the workplace, you really do have to, even though, you know, you may be ridiculed or what have what have you, if you could stop it from happening to somebody else, then, you know, you have to feel that it was actually worth it. You know, tell. Definitely. Don't hold it into yourself. Don't blame yourself. And then when it's all said and done, you know, forgive that person. Because if you hang on to that anger and that negativity towards whomever harmed you or wronged you, you know, you allow them to have that power against you. And in turn, what happens to us as youth does affect us in our adult life. So we have to be mindful of that as well. And, you know, like the king said, no definitely means no.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And we our young lady from the south, from 803.
My final thoughts. My greatest regret was not being stronger. So, I mean, for the females who haven't gone through it, if you ever come up with a situation like that, be stronger. My regret was not fighting him off, pushing him off, grabbing something, hitting him. So I just say don't be weak and be strong, because if I ever go into a situation like that, it's going to be different from going through it. I just say be strong.
Bugsy, what up? What's your final thought?
It's more like final advice, you know, like everybody really like touched, you know, key points. Like my advice for the females out there is, you know, just beware of, you know, your surroundings, who you deal with and things like that, because you never know. It can be the person, like they say, that you trust that, you know, be the one to get you. So I'm not saying, like, be too uptight when it comes to males, but sometimes, just, you know, just be on your P's and Q's like your mama taught you, you know what I mean? Like, girl, don't let nobody, you already know. So, I mean, it is what it is. But on the other hand, too, for some of you girls out there that think that you could just use a dude for his money being around him because he got this, that, and the third, and you telling your girls, oh, girl, he ain't never going to get none, but he ain't going to do that, gets back. And really ain't too many real dudes going to play that game where you think you just going to take everything that they got just to use them, and you're not really trying to put nothing towards them. Like, that's how that happens, too. You know what I mean? Like, these girls be out here playing dudes, and the wrong men are thinking it's okay. And certain dudes don't have the humble patience to be like, well, I need to leave her alone, go to the next one. Nah, some dudes take that aggression. But then for the dudes, too, my advice is, man, like they said, no chick should be treated like that, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's a blessing. Like, some chicks do act, you know, crazy, but that's just a female. But you got to love a female, because a female do so much. She brings birth into this life for us, you know what I mean? They hold us down when we need them, man, and dudes is out there treating them like dirt, man. Think how you want your mother to be treated, or your daughters, and so forth and so on, man, and treat these women with respect more, you know what I mean? And that's all I can really say on it.
That's what it is. Lynx, go ahead, girl.
You ready for me? I got one thing to say. You tell your sons when they hear this. They need to run.
Put on your sound effect, holy.
You heard? You tell this right here. Her purr and all that crap. They need to run. But on the real, what people need to do is get their information. They need to study Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits sexual harassment in your workplace. You got to document the dates, the times, include details. Learn the policy where you work at. You got to make a report, an official report, if you want it to stop. And you also got to take measures to prevent it from happening in the first place. Like, sometimes little comments lead to bigger behavior. So if you, because they said something about your booty or this damn girl, you're going to hurt somebody. Remember, when you do that little, that's an acceptance. That's letting them in. That's allowing them, creating the avenue for them to gain more confidence to take it to the next level. So, like I said, I joke around and everything, but then I bring it back to the reality. So, you know, as soon as somebody offends you or harasses you and it makes you feel uncomfortable, that's when you report it. Know that there are laws to protect you about it. And see, because if it goes unaddressed, if the issue goes unaddressed, it's just going to get bigger and bigger, and the sexual events is going to become more intense. So that's my final thoughts on it. And just and just one more time, just because I'm stupid. That's the sounds you run away from, little boys. You heard?
That's what's up. And this is a helpline you can call. It is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. And they have counselors to talk to rape victims and people that are going through it, you know, whether they've dealt with rape, whether they've dealt with different situations. You can call them because rape and molestation and harassment, people deal with it every day. Doesn't matter if you're male, female, you're a girl, you're a boy. We deal with it every single day, and it's up to us to make a change and break the cycle. You know, and most molesters have been molested in their life cycle, so we have to be open with our children, and we need to be honest with ourselves. And don't fear anything. They might threaten you, but at the end of the day, we have to stand up for what is our. That is our sanity, and that's our us. That's our body. That's our treasure. Mm-hmm. And we never allow anybody to take that from us. And we have one more caller from the 917 joining us on the line. We're closing it out talking about, you know, molestation, rape, and all that. And we're about to jump into something else in a few seconds. But caller from the 917, you're live on Street Queens, the Movement. Peace. 917, you're live on Street Queens, the Movement. Peace.
Good night, honey.
Good evening. How you doing? 917. Okay, I guess you're just listening. Okay, good night. Okay, just stay on the line then. All right. We're going to go to a quick skit, because, you know, we just got real deep and everything. It's just something to make you laugh real quick. And we'll be back on Street Queens, the Movement. And we're going to talk about cougarism. What's the difference between being a cougar and a man having a younger woman? What's the difference? Let's talk about it in a few seconds. We're going to a quick skit, and we'll be back in a second. Y'all crazy.
I like beans. I like all kinds of beans. I like pinto beans. I like black beans. I like a lot of beans. Sometimes I eat beans and they make me fart, or I eat beans and sometimes do. But I eat beans. I like Mexican beans. I love American beans. I like beans. Do you like beans? What kind of beans you like? But I do like Lush Radio, and I eat beans. Thank you.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, the Movement.
That's what it is, and we're back, man. Do you like beans? We're back on the line.
I got music in the background.
Thank you, dude.
I thought we got to go low down. My partner, Lucy Lou, so I can swing her around.
Oh, good.
Mm-mm. You know, we just ran
a
little bit
of Bane.
That's one of the little skits and stuff. It's hilarious. But if you're just joining us, we're back on Street Queens, the Movement, and we was talking about you know molestation and everything like that. We shared stories and stuff. And if you want to hear repeats or hear, like, the beginning of the show, it's always archived. So you can always check out the show later on and log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Lush Radio Online or go to www.lushradioonline.com and click on the tab that says Listen to Lush Radio Live. We always have informative shows for you guys each and every Thursday. Make sure you stay tuned and log on. Call at 347-826-7722. We're live on Street Queens, the Movement. And we're going to basically talk about this whole cougarism situation. We're going to talk about that. Like, what's the difference Are you a cougar? If you're a cougar, throw your hands up. If you're a cougar, call in and tell us about your cougar situation. And if you're a sugar daddy, if they say, or an older guy that has a younger woman, talk about it. How young is too young? Let's talk about it tonight. Just for a quick second, and then we're going to talk about your new boo-boo and what you're doing and what are you doing. So go ahead, let's go ahead and open up the lines for everybody. Everybody's live on the line. Your line is open. And we're going to go ahead, and we're going to go ahead with Emma. Emma, tell us your cougar situation. Are you a cougar? If you are, raise your hand up.
My hand is raised. Holla at your cougar. Why you pick me? Because I'm the oldest cougar here? I see where you go with that lunch. I ain't gonna get on you. I'm just going to stay on the topic. But, yay. Yeah, I'm a cougar, man, you know. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to clarify the cougarism because my sister, Super Size, had mentioned earlier on the cougarism and the, you know, and how young is too young. I only go 10 years younger than me. I'm 42. So y'all do the math. You know, I'm not doing 16, 17. I'm not hanging out in high school. You know, I'm not doing none of that. You definitely have to be, you know, old enough to order a drink, be employed, you know, be about your business. So then we can be able to, you know, get it on.
So okay, all right now.
10 years younger. 10 years younger is my cougarism. Okay, 12 maybe if you push it. Let's see. I don't know. Depends. But, I'm 22. So you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but no, I'm in a relationship now, and I still remain a cougar, even though he says I'm only 3 years older, but still 3 years is 3 years. I'm still a cougar. And, you know, and I wear my shirts proudly, and I hang out with a lot of cougar friends, and, you know, and that's who we do.
Yeah, I got a pack, huh?
Hold on, let me ask you a question, Emma. Emma, what got you started in the dealing with younger men? Is it kind of like a power trip type thing for you, or does it feel like maybe I can mold him into what I want? Tell me what made you get into the whole cougarism.
Truthfully, what got me into the cougarism is that in my neighborhood where I was at, the guys that were my age or around my age or even older were either in prison, life bidding, or had already, you know, 4 or 5 kids or, you know, already had 3 different baby mothers in 3 different blocks. So I really didn't have too much choices, or they were cracked out or smoked out or doped out. So, you know, my choices were to either deal with that or go younger. So, you know, that's just what happened. You know, I wasn't taking them out of the cradle. You know, they already had to be in the club. So they had to be at least 21 to get in the club. You know what I mean? So they were old enough to be in there drinking. They're old enough to get it. So that's what, you know, so that's where my cougar is.
They got it.
So let me ask Q, have you ever dealt in your town, have you ever dealt with a cougar? And how was your experience? Do you find cougars to be kind of possessive in a sense? What do you think about cougars? Have you dealt with a cougar? Tell us about your experience, Q.
I've been on both ends of the stick. I mean, I had them older and I had them younger. The older ones, they more mature. They know what they want and they know how to go for what they want. They ain't no bullshit about it, point blank and simple. I ran across this one chick last year, matter of fact, and we at the club getting our drink on, our dance on, our party on, and all that. You know, time to leave. Shorty, you know, we already doing our thing. And she's like, that's my mom calling. I can't answer. And I'm like, why can't you answer the phone? Of course, it's your mom. She's like, of course, I'm only 19. I'm like, 19? Oh, you got to go. You got to go. You know, I got a son that's 18. You know, I mean, like, I'd rather deal with someone older or in their 30s. You know, I've been with older women. Ooh wee. Ooh wee is all I can say.
Well, okay. All right, so I want to go ahead and ask our girl Ebony. Ebony, you've been a cougar, Ebony, in your lifetime. Have you ever been a cougar? And how did you get into your cougarism? Ebony?
Yes.
Are you going
to speak? No, I've never been. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Let's see. Have I been a cougar? So anyone under your age is, you're being a cougar? Is that what it goes? Is there a certain,
yes, you're a cougar.
You know, is there a certain age when you're a cougar? Or how does, what's the definition of a cougar? Let's start with that.
Older woman, younger man.
Okay, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, five. Now, what's the specific?
It goes on. It depends on your limit. My limit is 10. Like I said, I may do 12 because I'm 42 now, you know, so it depends.
She's trying to find her range.
You have some type of limit, you know what I'm saying? But, like, when I was, like, okay, for instance, when I was 22, I went to, like, 19, 18. Like, right there. Like, 18, at least you could vote. You know, you could vote, okay, you're cool. And then, you know, as my numbers go up, then, you know, their numbers got to go up, too. So, that a cougar is always a woman. It's actually, you know, when it's real cougarism, it's actually when a woman is an independent woman, you know what I mean? And she just wants to deal with a younger person. Because they have actually more stamina. Because they have more stamina.
She wants,
you know what I mean? They got that stamina. But not all younger ones really got too much stamina. You'd be surprised. We've got more than them. So that's why, you know what I'm saying, you know, they get caught up in the cougarism.
They want that back crack.
That's because we know. At a certain age, a woman already knows, like the king said, a woman knows what she wants, and she's not playing no games about it. You know, so, you know, we're not doing none of this, no playing, no hanging up the phone. You know, you come in here, boom, and then take your stuff when you're leaving, and, I'll see you later on. And surprise, you know, guys, they get turned on. They get turned on, like, about that. You know, it's like, wow, yo, she told me to take my stuff and go. Oh, hold up. I got to get my game up. Because she ain't playing no games, like, you know? So, you know, that's what that's about. Holla, cougars.
Listening to Emma's explanation of the word cougar, that I would say, yes, one in the past. However,
How old were they?
I was, what, 33, and he was like 4 years younger than me, so like 29.
Wow, total cougarism. Wow.
Okay, that's fine. Wow, that's fine.
Wow, total
so,
cougarism.
Yeah. So
did you lay the law down? Did you lay the law down? That's what I want to. Did you lay the law down as a cougar that should? That's what I. Come on, queen. You laid the law down?
I don't know what the law, laying the law down is, Emma.
Oh, man, you know what the law is? Did he keep calling, harassing? Did he say, you know, the L word and all that stuff? Come on, did you lay the law down?
I'm over here just blushing. Let's say we had a very nice, healthy relationship until I broke it off. So.
All right, you laid the law down. You definitely shall. You laid it down.
You weren't told. You're a total cougar because you know why? Because you devastated him. You're a cougar. Totally. You get stamped for that.
You get kudos for that.
For real, I'm gonna go ahead to my girl from the down in the south, 803. I know you a cougar right now at the moment.
8 years, 8 years. I've been a cougar for 8 years.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of them down in the south.
10 years.
That's like Cougarville.
Same man though.
No, but before this whole the situation with this man, did you have other experiences of cougarism?
No.
Okay. So this was the first cougarism experience.
Yes.
Yeah, she was tricked into this cougarism. She was tricked.
I was tricked, but it's all good.
But I'm saying, are you laying down the law, cougar?
I've been doing it for
10 years. 10 years.
Wow.
10 years, two kids. Come on, like, no, she is. 10 years, two kids.
No, you know it.
All I'm saying is that we give her a double stamp.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, the cougarism is strong tonight. Bugsy, you're live on the line, Bugsy, man. Have you ever dealt with a cougar? Tell us your experience.
Shit, man, I done had a couple of them, man. Keep it 100. I don't know. Me and young chicks really don't mix, man, you know. But I don't know if it was I was too advanced, man, but they wasn't laying down no law. But, I mean, I had a few, man. I had, my belt looking a little healthy, you know, not to toot my own, but... I'm sleeping on the wheel right now, you know? But, I mean, I don't know. Like he said, man, the older girls, man, they ain't got time for the games, man. And I ain't no Parker Brother lover, so you can keep the games, man, at the end of the day, man. So, you know, wrong with them cougars, man, you know? But, you know, there's a limit, man. You don't want a cougar that's too older than you because then there's going to be a big, you know, misunderstanding between generations, and you ain't gonna know nothing she talking about, and she ain't gonna try to know nothing about what you talking about.
Cobwebs down there, is that what you're saying? You got to clear the cobwebs? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, like, you can't come up listening to Jimmy and Weezy and all that and expect to be with a lady that know about Tina Marie and the Isley Brothers and the OJs and all that, because y'all ever really ain't going. You know what I mean, class? So there's a limit when it comes to that cougar age.
That's all I'm saying. And I'm talking about the cobwebs.
It might be a little shit that too.
How
man.
Young have you went? How old have you went?
Keep it 100. I want to say I was. You had to be 17. I was dealing with a chick that was like late 20s, about to hit 30, early 30s.
Oh, I see. You one of those tricksters right there. You one of them tricksters because they're little young John.
Nah, I keep it a hundred though. But see, I mean, I ain't lie about my age. You know what I'm saying?
Lie to me.
I look at it like this. I look at it like this. If you don't ask, I won't tell.
All I'm saying, I don't know if these young boys is drinking goat milk or whatever, but these cats is looking older than their age, man. Word up.
Oh, and go for the female side, too. I remember when I was a kid, seeing these girls back then, now seeing them today, I'm like, damn, what's in the water? You know, these young girls, they looking healthier than some of the older chicks.
Yeah, you can't judge till you get too close on them. You got to get close on them to judge before you say something, because you say something, you see she's like 14, you feel bad.
So, let me ask y'all something honestly. Be honest. Be straight honest to me. Would you deal with a cougar that was 80 years old and had bank? I'm going to ask you straight up. Be honest. Be honest, guys. Don't lie. Don't lie on your stuff, man. Real talk. Would you lay it down with a cougar? Would you lay it down on a grand cougar? I'm going to ask you. I'm gonna ask you, would you lay it down? I knew you were gonna come to me first.
Hell yes, I would hit an 80-year-old. I would clear the cobwebs out and everything.
If she got banging body,
and her mind's right. Don't forget who I was 5 minutes later. Yeah.
80-year-olds we love too. 80-year-olds we love too.
Oh, shout out to 80-year-olds.
And you know she could cook. You know she could cook if she's 80 years old.
Oh, can she even make it to the kitchen, though? But anyway.
She's 80 years old. I'm both wrong with you. She 80 years old. You both wrong with she already.
Bugsy, would you hit a Glenn Cooper, Bugsy? Would you hit her? Would you hit that?
I can't even lie, man. I would, man. Like, I probably would say no, but at the end of the day, I might. At the end of the day, I definitely might. So I have to go with the year on that, man. Like,
is she banking?
I hate to say get something out of it, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you really can't be banging no 80-year-old cougar just to be banging no 80-year-old cougar. That really got to be something to come out of that. You know what I'm saying? And you might want to sign a contract before you even fuck, because if she don't make it past that, there's nothing getting left to you. So sign that contract before you fail that deal.
You definitely got to get that waiver. You got to get that waiver in there.
You got to sign this first. You know what I'm saying? Because, nah, no, if she don't make it past that session, it's a wrap.
Sign on the bottom line.
Guys, down.
You ask for real talk, and we give you real talk. We gonna make him sign that waiver. We gonna make him sign that waiver. We gotta get something out of it.
If you have a heart attack after this sexual intercourse session, you still owe me such amount of dollars.
But the same thing would apply to older men. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, older man that's like about 80, 90 that got money too.
Ooh, you better get there before he pop that blue pill. You better sign it.
I'll be like, you know, as I'm taking off my clothes, sign right here, because I ain't going to keep taking the shit off now. Sign right there. Because I know you're going to pass out of this, so sign right there. I have the lawyer right there. I have the lawyer and everything right there. Notarize that shit. Notarize it. All right.
Okay, Les didn't answer the question, though, y'all. Les, what about your cougarism?
Young ones drinking that water and that milk.
I had two cougarism experiences. I had one young boy. Like I said before, he told me that he was like 19 or something, but come to find out he was 17. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. But you know,
I plead on all the other situations,
and yes, I did lay down the law. But we move on to the other one.
Real talking. Ain't no fifth up in here. You better talk, girl. We're not doing no fifth here. Let it out, girl.
Okay, the first one, right? I didn't know little young boys, right? When he told me his age, I was like, wow, because you know that DC Diving, the DC Diving skills was on point for a little young boy. They ain't know what the hell he was doing. I was like, God damn, little man. So damn. And then the sausage was crazy. So I'm like, damn, these little niggas. Man, what is this? The Popeye shit, motherfucking serious? Damn, you know. So then we move on to the next one.
How old were you when he was 17? How old were you?
I had to have been like 23 years old or something like that. And then the other time I was like 25, and this boy was like 18, 19, and the crazy thing I knew was mother, and I don't even know how the hell that was.
Wow.
And I just was like, damn. I was like, damn, yo, this young thing, man, damn.
That's crazy.
Yo, you know, the coolism sometimes it's the excitement of the fact to see if you still got it, if a young boy going to holler at you. Or it's just the excitement just to say, damn, I can lay the law on a young thing and turn them out. And sometimes you just want to turn a little young boy out and be like, yo, I did that. And that's mine. Like, I laid stamp on it, dog.
But the guys, the men go through that too. Men go through that too to see if, you know, if a young, if they could still walk with a young thing and they still got it and, you know, they still could pop it off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they trying to see if the thing still work down there. You know what I'm saying?
Funny is that some of the older guys, they want to act young, and then some of the younger guys, you know, some of them be having their stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the sad
like
part.
Like their roles have reversed. And it's like, are you serious?
And it's either way, as long as it's consent, as long as it's consent, it's all good with 30 years old, 17, whatever. As long as it's consent and it's not a child and none of that, you know what I mean. And you ain't gonna pick them up in the junior high school or the high schools. Then you know, then we do.
Or ask you for bus fare.
Hey, yo, so everybody, this is a disclaimer right here. These are things that we have been done in our past. So don't judge us on this now. We're just telling our stories and doing a recap.
Yes.
So we're just letting you guys know that we are not rapists. And if it's consent, then it's not rape. But if it's not consensual, then it is rape, okay? So that's what we have to state. And shout out to all the cougars. Meow. Because you're a cougar.
Meow.
But yeah, what you do. Let's Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, the panel. We talked about molestation, rape, and when no means no, sexual harassment. Is it a double standard? We talked about that. We shared our stories and stuff like that. And then we moved on and talked about cougarism. Are you a cougar? Share your experience. We talked about that. So in our last little minutes of our recap, we just want to say that we love everybody that joined us tonight, and we love you guys so much, and we give you a group hug. Mm. And you know what? We just want to say what's new with you, boo-boo. So ladies, can you tell us, for our main ladies that are our panelists, can you tell us what's new with you, boo-boo, and then we can go ahead and go into our prayer? Because, I mean, a lot of us need prayer because we are definitely cougarizing and we are mesmerizing and we are getting it in all kinds of way. So, Emma, what's new with you, boo-boo?
My new is this Sunday, March 2nd. I'll be down in New York in the Bronx, Van Cornen, walking for the March of Dimes, me and my family. We got a team called Coqui Babies. Coqui, which is the
frog,
represents Puerto Ricans. So it's Coqui Babies, and we're walking, you know, March of Dimes, and we're going to be out there for 3 miles. I'll be huffing and puffing. And I'm having my kids out there with me, and, you know, whoever's out there, come out and join us, you know, March of Dimes. That's what I'm doing Sunday. That's my new.
That's what's up, man. We need to get that video footage, girl, man. We need to put that up on Street Queens and Movement, man. Walk it out.
Oh, you already know.
I'll walk it out. And, Ebony, what's your new, boo-boo? Ebony, are you there? Scotty, beam us up. Hello. Ebony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I am so here. I'm not there. I'm here. Okay.
Ebony, what's your new boo-boo?
What's going on? Let's see. We have a muscular dystrophy walk on Saturday for the members after 784. We are going around taking, you know, getting donations for that to see how far, you know, you can, how many miles you're going to run. So that's what's going on Saturday. And Sunday I'm going to church to praise the Lord. So that's what's new with me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we got my girl Lynx back online with us. Lynx, what's new with you, boo-boo?
What do you really want to know?
Whitey.
Do you really want to know?
We scared to ask.
I don't think y'all can handle the truth. Let's see. I'm about to supersize a young boy this weekend. I think I'm a join CougarLife.com. And you know what happens? Once you go fat, you never go back. Ripples and waves all day.
I love you, Lee. You're just, you're so great.
That young boy woman, God damn, I didn't know it was like that.
Wow.
Then they're gonna list me as a top 10 favorite on CougarLife.com.
Snaps. So how
But on the real, what I'm getting into is I'm sorry, I'm so crazy, people, but seriously. You know, I don't know if y'all are aware, I'm sure that you heard about the Arizona state legislature just approved the toughest anti-immigration bill in the country, which is basically giving police the authority to racially profile immigrants. So our brown people,
anybody,
but you know, in Arizona, it's our brown people. Let's keep it real. It's our brown people. So, you know, Governor Brewer signed it all away, and we're trying to fight that. So what I'd like to ask people to do is to go to change.org and sign the petition and stand up for Arizona to veto the SB 1070. Which is the legislature that went into effect. It's also going to make it a crime to hire an undocumented immigrant. It allows anyone to sue a local, county, state agency if they believe the agency is not enforcing immigration laws by hiring these people. So you sign the petition. The petition will get to Jan Brewer's office. She's the senator who signed this over. Because no matter how you look at it, it's going to affect everybody. People, like, you know, everyone's thinking, oh, that's not our problem. But if you allow one state to get okay with it, it's going to happen in every state. And this is just a segue. It's a segue to martial law. It's going to happen if that's real. Legal racial profiling is ridiculous. Please join change.org and sign the petition because we can't have this. We can't allow this, not in our time. And I can't believe that Obama's going to let this slide. I just can't. So that's my new. I need to raise awareness and spread the word about that. And then I'm going to get in on that young boy.
Okay.
And he better sign the damn petition too.
And we'll talk with you.
And he got to feed me first. He got to feed me first.
I implore everybody to please go ahead and sign that petition because, like you said, it doesn't matter even, like I'm African, you know what I'm saying, and no, it doesn't matter. You black, white, you know what I'm saying, but really for us as minorities, we can't really stand for that because, really, let's be honest, most of the jobs that the minorities do, most other people don't want to do, so who are you going to pay to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we'll talk. Like, let's really talk. Let's really be honest about it. All these roads,
right,
construction, nobody wants to do them anymore. And these minorities are coming here trying to create homes and stuff like this for their families and stuff. And a lot of them pay taxes and do their thing. Don't deny them a chance to try to live the quote-unquote American dream. Like, you know what I'm saying? Really, like, if they're doing the right thing and doing right by people, please, man. Like, we cannot go for that and stand for that. Please sign that petition, because I know I am, and I employ everybody, too, you know. Unless they're doing something, if the people that are doing wrong, then deal with them. Don't punish everybody else for that. Seriously.
I thank you guys for really listening, after all my nonsense, listening to that. But I want you all to give me a minute. Just give me 1 minute right here and listen to this, because if we don't take action on that, this is what is going to end up happening. Welcome to the United States of America. Ice-T talked about it, if my brother's on the line, remember, in his 1989 Iceberg Freedom of Speech, Shut Up and Be Happy. Do y'all remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here we go. I just need a moment for y'all to listen. What's going to become of our great nation if we allow this to happen? So my people listening, here you go.
America is now on martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot.
Will be shot.
Shot.
That's what's gonna happen to us. This is
from
Iceberg's album, 1989. It's called "Shut Up and Be Happy," and everyone called him an enemy of the state. That he was a rapper, a terrorist rapper, but I think he was a visionary. He was a seer, and he was warning us, because all this shit is gonna come into fruition. It's a step away.
Yeah.
If they can do that to our people, they can do that to us. What you gonna do when they come for you? What you gonna
right.
do when they come for you? Because they're gonna keep knocking down, getting reasons, more reasons to come after us. So
right.
we need to go
they
and back
stop
up.
You without having probable cause. They can
That's
stop
right.
you now without having probable cause.
So we need to go support this petition, change.org. Please sign. And thank you, my people, for putting up with my nonsense. I know sometimes you wanna block me from the call, but you can't.
That's real tough. But you know what though, you know Lynx.
Yeah.
You want to take it home with the prayer tonight? Because I always do it. You want to go ahead and do it? Because I gave it to Ebony.
Can I say one thing?
Oh yes.
No, hold
okay.
on. We got to end the show. I don't got no switchboard, so we had to save it for next week. So you got to end off with the prayer. You got to close
okay.
the show out.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dear Lord, dear Most High, and God, as you all understand him, always answers our prayers. But he also asks us to look inside and change the things that we can, accept the things that we cannot, and to fight for our families and for our communities. We ask, dear Lord, our Father in heaven, that you please be with us, that you give us the strength so that we can face adversity and look it right into the eye, that we can walk alongside with the enemy and understand what we're going to be going through, what we're facing. Give us the strength and the power. We have the power to change our lives. We have the power to change the lives of other people. We have the power to heal ourselves. We have the power to heal communities. Be with us, walk with us, Lord. I thank you for all the sisters on the line and all the brothers on the line. They gave up their time. We had a few laughs, but mostly we exchanged information that's vital and pertinent to our people. So, the serenity prayer, Lord. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Let us, my sisters and brothers, live one day at a time, enjoy one moment at a time, accept our hardships as the pathway to peace. I'm a warrior, and I know I'm speaking on the phone with warriors. God bless us as we do this work. We surrender to your will. I ask this to the Most High, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. That was great.
Amen.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night,
we all talk the movement. Thank you, and we love everybody, and we want to see you. Love
right.
you guys.
Next Thursday. Next Thursday, everybody.
Next Thursday.
Five.
See you there. 8 o'clock.
Peace and light. Love and light.
Monday, birthday. Monday is my birthday.
Happy born day, and if you was 25, you'd get a real nice present. Peace. Buenas noches. Meow. Viva Goldivas.
Bye. Good night. Good night.
Good night.